You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Have the Portland Trailblazers found their Patrick Ewing? Ooh. Welcome to the Blazer and Focus podcast. DeAndre Ayton is ripping it up. I just made that comparison just so I could get a look from my co-host, Craig Burnback. Oh, he's disgusted with me. But we're going to talk about this because DeAndre Ayton is on fire. Welcome to the Blazer Focus podcast. I am Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian Oregon Live, and I'm joined by Super Nick fan, Craig Burnback, who was a huge Ewing fan. He's disgusted with it, and that's okay because I don't care because you know what? The last four games, DeAndre Ayton has been Patrick Ewing-esque. There's no doubt about that. We're going to talk about this resurgence from him, what it means. And also, I got a chance to catch up with Ayton in the locker room after Thursday night's loss to the Knicks. Had a little one-on-one time. I got some audio from him that we're going to react to. But Craig, look, I know you didn't like hearing me say that. But no. Dude, DeAndre Ayton is absolutely balling. The last four games, 29 points per game. 17 assists, 61% from the field, and he's doing it when the games matter. And even last night, I asked him about this because this is impressive to me. They were getting spanked, and Ayton came out in the second half and did everything he could to try and get his team back in the game with 21-12 in the second half. It's easy to just, we're getting our butts kicked and just coast. Yep. He did not do that. And so we're seeing a guy that you and I have talked about all season. Like, who's he going to be? And there were times this season when it seemed like he was taking a seat back, and we kind of reflected on, was that him? Was that Billups? Was that this? Was it that? And I asked him about that. We're going to hear him talk about that. But now it's like he has just decided, I'm going to be more aggressive. I'm going to be a leader. I'm going after it. And the numbers are ridiculous. And this has kind of started a little sooner, but he had a couple bumps in the road. But really, over the last few games, he's been killing it. He's had six straight games of at least 20 and 10. And the one game he didn't get it, he had 12 and 10 in 18 minutes before going out with the wrist sprain against Miami. So what say you about what we're seeing from Mr. Ayton?
So you set me up to like diss him because you called him Patrick Ewing, like of all the people, right?
Poke the bear. I gotta poke you. Poke me a lot. I gotta poke you.
I'm not gonna be negative. I'm not gonna let you go Patrick Ewing on me. But no, I mean there's nothing negative you could say about DeAndre Ayton's game right now. Like corner three, man.
Corner three, and he looked good. First one of the season. Yep.
Looked good. The stuff that we know he's great at, he's been great at. We know he can shoot that mid-range. You know what I mean? And he's been getting it, no hesitation, crashing the offensive boards. That's where effort is, right? And that's where a lot of the criticism came with the Suns, his own team saying like, hey, man, when he tries, he's awesome, but he doesn't. You know, we can't get that effort every night. And when you're crashing the boards, like you said, they're down 15. He's got two straight, a tip in and a dunk. One was on the rim as a Knick fan. One was on the rim. That should be counted, but whatever. But he's crashing. He set the pick and roll with Simons is starting to come together. But you could see they're running the offense through him, and he wants it. And he is talking to his teammates on the court. Showing those leadership characteristics that you want to see from him. And on defense, been good. Blocking shots, getting in the way. he's just not surrounded by a ton of talent. So like against the Knicks, he can't stop Jalen Brunson, and nobody could. But they didn't lose because of him, and his effort stayed throughout. And I'll say, like, I like the fact that in the game, you know, when they beat the Hawks, the two best players on the team dominated, you know, Simons and Ayton. And yeah, that's how they're going to win. Now, what does that mean for the long term success of the Blazers? That I don't know, because I don't know where these guys are going to be. But I'm not to worry about that right now. This is when Joe Cronin traded for Ayton. You said it. If Ayton's a dud, we got problems. If Ayton's a stud, we go, okay. Well, right now, Ayton's a stud, not a dud.
100%. Absolutely a stud. But, you know, we're going to play the caveats here because he's been a stud before, right?
Yes, this is right. It's now.
If you go look at his game log with the Suns, there are stretches when he was killing it. And the question was always, you know, how come he can't maintain this? Where's the effort? He kind of disappears at times. But, you know, players mature, players grow. I like to point to Lowry and how he developed and grew in Utah. And I even said this after the trade that maybe Aiden's going to have that kind of resurgence here and become more of a reliable star caliber player. But, you know, we're talking about a handful of games, and we're talking about a handful of games, you know, in late February, March, when the season's pretty much over. And what you hope to see is A, he continues this the rest of the season, and that B, he comes into next season and is 25-12 from day one. And if he is, then you got something to revolve around. You got something to orbit your team around. And a guy who, you know, you can never take for granted his experience playing with Chris Paul, playing with Booker, playing deep in the playoffs, playing in the finals, regardless of whatever, inconsistencies he showed. He went through that. And that means a lot, because no one else on this team that I can think, well, Brogdon has gone through that. And so to have someone like that for the youngsters to revolve around, it'll be huge. So I'm excited. Like, I'm pumped. Like, it's cool to see, because this is what I was hoping to see early in the season. But speaking of that, we're going to get to some audio now. So the first question I asked him, he and I were alone in the locker room after the game last night, and he was willing to talk. And I talked about his, you know, him playing harder and playing with more determination and trying to be sort of that beacon that the team needs. So here's what he had to say.
I just want people to believe, man. No matter what the game is, no matter how it look, regardless of the matter of the fact, I'm trying my best way to make winning plays. That's just it. Whether it's me scoring, rebounding, blocking shots, cheering on my teammates, getting them going, making plays, just rolling to the rim, not getting the ball, it don't matter. I'm just trying to show everybody I can do it all. And, you know, no matter the outcome of the game, you won't say that I played my ass off, played hard enough, you know, to where I tried. And, you know, I felt like the whole team was like that as well. We all contributed. And, I try my best to keep my energy up for my guys too, so nobody get deflated.
All right, so the key things there, trying to keep his energy up so no one else gets deflated, even when you're down, trying to show that he's going to do it all. He's going to bring that energy all the time and try and be, you know, basically a focal point of the team, regardless of how things are going. That's what I took away the most from what he said. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he checked all the boxes, right? It's like he saw the boxes that everyone has been saying about him his whole career. He clearly listens to the noise. You know, he's not a guy that doesn't listen. He's, even when the dominating stuff, he admitted that he knows people were joking about it. So he's a smart guy. Like, I think that I like that he's saying that, but as you've said, it's all about, will he keep it up forever? Because we know he can, and he's doing it right now. So it's the perfect time for him to say these things, because everything he said there is what we just said he's been doing, right? Like the leadership stuff, the effort stuff. But I like the fact that he knows that his teammates will look at him and feed off of that. Because when you're on a young, bad team that's not winning a lot of games, they see the vet turn off. They go, oh, I guess, you know, what do you tell athletes? Pro athletes, what matters? always two things. Get your bag, you know, truth, get money, right? You got to get your contract. But right. winning. So it's like when young players are on a team that's, you know, going to win in the 20s and they see the vet say, fourth quarter, down 12, not playing hard. They're like, well, that's what you're supposed to do because we're not going to win. But right. he's not doing that. He's like, no, we got a chance. Let's go. And there's a reason why we're pros. So I like hearing that. And I like athletes that listen a little bit, not, you know, because then there's no excuses for, well, I don't know what people are saying when they do, you know, like I like that he recognizes who he is and what the criticisms have been of him in the past.
Okay. I asked him a little bit more about giving that effort, especially when losing. Because, like I said, in the second half, he had 21 and 12. And this is a Knicks team that clearly was superior. Brunson had 45. Like, even without Julius Randle, it was clear.
A chill 45, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was just like chill.
It was clear that once they got that lead, that without Simons and Grant, like they had no chance.
They weren't going to lose.
They had no chance. But Aiden could have easily said, yeah, we got no chance. I'm just going to chill. I've been killing it. But no. 21 and 12 in the second half. I asked him a little bit about that.
Is that part of also an effort to become more of a firm leader on this team?
Most definitely. These are young guys and, you know, playing against good teams, you know, hustle plays and big momentum plays, you know, tend to deflate you. It's an emotional game, but, you know, having that fire and that, you know, just that one guy, you know, just making hard on ball plays and still going, you know, it's contagious. And, you know, I try to be that guy also, you know, just joining Tomari and guys like Chris Murray, just, you know, being a hustle guy and just, you know, doing more, you know, no matter the state of the game, just, you know, trying our best to give ourselves momentum as well and to get our offense in rhythm.
So more of him just, you know, again, trying to be a focal point so that the young guy, like he was concerned about the young guys being able to feed off of him in an adverse situation where they pretty much had no chance to win. But he recognizes that these young players, especially with Simons and Grant out, are part of the future and they're trying to develop and he wants to be there for them. And here's the thing, like I had wondered when he came, like if he hadn't shown complete effort playing with Durant, Chris Paul, and Booker, right? With titles on the line, what was the effort going to be like on a team that's going nowhere with a bunch of youngsters? Like, that was a huge question mark for me. And he's demonstrating, like, in March, like early March, that he cares and they're going nowhere. And I think that's just awesome.
Yeah. And again, those are the intangibles that you pay for in a player that was drafted first overall and when he's going to get his next contract. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you keep a guy like that. You get rid of a guy when you're the Suns who doesn't do it consistently. So there are no Durant voices, though, on this team. There are no Chris Paul voices on this team. So no one's going to tell DeAndre Ayton to show up or effort. You know what I mean? It's a much different locker room.
Right.
Grant's the only guy that is more of a veteran than him. And let's be honest, Jeremy Grant's not the guy that's going to call you out probably in a locker room.
No. So Malcolm would be the only other one, really.
Right. And he's not playing right now.
Exactly.
And Chauncey, you know, the coach. Chauncey will call you out.
Well,
but
of course.
Simons is not the kind of guy that's going to call you out. So that's part of their issue right now, I think, as a franchise,
right,
is that they don't have that guy. When, you know, that alpha argument, which people got so hot and angry about because they didn't really look into what an alpha really is.
Jalen Brunson's an alpha.
He's alpha. He's talking trash. But LaMarcus Aldridge was not an alpha. He was a top flight player, but he didn't call his teammates out. And that was part, you know who was an alpha? Damian Lillard is an alpha. From the day he was there as a rookie, he was telling people, you know, hey, let's, you know, you got to do this, do that. So if Ayton wants to be the alpha in the locker room, that's only going to be helpful because you know what? He was the number one pick for a reason, right? Like he has every chance to be an all-star and an alpha. Like you said, you got to throw the caveats. Like it's 10 games in February and March where he's played out. So praise it. praise it, enjoy it, hope it continues forever and ever and ever.
You mentioned the offensive rebounds earlier. In the last four games, he's had 21 offensive rebounds, yeah, which is killing. I think that's a lot.
I think that's not bad.
Qualifies as a lot. I think that's pretty good.
And teams know, like the Knicks played small for a while, yeah, and Ayton killed them on the offensive boards. That said, the Knicks, they outscored them because it was strategy, right? They're like, well, we'll give that up because there's no way you can guard us. I mean, they're playing a guy at the four who's 6'3", but he's getting 19 rebounds, so you can't be mad at him. You know what I mean? Like, so right. it's just a different thing. But the whole point is, when a team does that, when they decide to play small on you and you're Ayton, you got to make them pay for it. And he has. Not enough to win, but enough. Like, he can only do so much, and he's doing that.
Right, exactly. All right, next, I did bring up how he hadn't been as aggressive early in the season. And he talked a lot about, some personal things he was going through and just making the adjustment to a new team and, some family things. So here's him talking about that.
Early in the season, you weren't nearly as aggressive as you are now. It's like you were laying in wait.
Yeah, no, right? Really, my body. Everybody forget that I went down for quite some time, just doing treatment on my knee.
Well, I mean, before that, like the first couple of months, you were kind of like, you even talked about how you were sort of like just feeling your way through
that too. That stuff was bothering me. Everything, my body wasn't just my body. Okay. People, in this league, people forget the humane difference of, me adjusting to everything and, just trying to be humane and just being comfortable and waking up. I didn't have a bed for quite some time. I was on air mattress, just trying to figure this shit out and, family coming in and out and nowhere to stay and figuring it out. Like, I got all the money in the world, but at the same time, it's like, some of this shit's inhumane where, money don't matter, man.
Right.
Having your people around and the support you need. But finally, PDX, I came in here with open arms. They came in with open arms, and that's all I could really ask for, and they made it easy. I felt like I adjusted quickly, but at the same time, it's good to acknowledge that we are human, and, things like that do have to take into place where you have to adjust to certain cities and, teammates and things like that,
All right. So go ahead, react.
What I take from that is, get an assist to get you a bed, man. I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, you make $20-30 million a year. Like, get a bed. Like, they'll deliver that next day. Like, my wife can get anything delivered to the house in like 20 minutes. Like, $30 million, I'm guessing you can get yourself a bed more than in a few months. I know you got to get a special bed. Like, I can sleep. I could sleep in a shoebox in my size, but like, I get that you're special size, but come on, there's custom bed makers. That's crazy.
And of course, we don't know how long he went without a bed.
Slept on air mattresses for normal sized people are terrible.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
so that wasn't good. Foot one and you're on an air mattress.
I know.
Can you imagine like the how that weight pushes that air? Like, no, that can't be. Like, the Blazers need to have people on staff that be like, okay, we got when certain NBA players move.
When 7-footers come to town, we got the bed. Service.
Like, you keep some around. Like, did LaMarcus move his bed? Like, where's that around? Put that in storage. Like, have a bed for your big man. Like, do not let your big man sleep on an air mattress. Like, that stuff. Like, I don't even like sleeping on an air mattress.
Oh, my God.
And I don't make 30 mil.
Okay, so in a nutshell, he's adjusting to a new team. Of course, Ant went out. Yeah. That hurt things. They weren't running the offense through him at all, which Billups talked about back then. He wasn't getting – like, his shooting percentages were similar to Phoenix, but he wasn't getting the shot attempts. And so leading up – from the season leading up to this – to January 10th, he was averaging about 12 points a game. Since then, he's up over around 20. But, if things also, if he's making this adjustment off the court as well, dealing with, he does have a son, dealing with family stuff, dealing with other aspects of his family, dealing with, where he's going to live, whatever personal things are really going on in his life. I mean, that can impact you on the court. And then if you aren't feeling well physically as well, then that also can impact you. So, you know, I'm not going to, I try and give athletes the benefit of the doubt as much as possible. It sounds like there was a lot of things that he was dealing with that were impacting his aggressiveness. And so I will take him at his word for that. And I think we're seeing that now he feels comfortable and he's killing it. So what do you think?
Yeah. Sometimes we all need to be reminded that these athletes that make $30 million are still human. You know what I mean? They're still human. Right. Stuff still can affect them at work, just like it affects us at work. And they still got bills to pay even that are different than us. My kid's gone for the weekend and it impacts me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So we forget that sometimes because they make so much money. You know, I hear that criticism, Damian Lillard. I'm not saying it's the smartest thing to like complain about. I don't do anything but play video games. I'm so lonely when you're making $50 million. I get why people say that, but it doesn't make it not true. And we know that money doesn't necessarily make you happy. And he's only 25. You know what I mean? It's not like he's a 40-year-old guy that's been through this. This is the biggest change in his life, you know? So I think it's always good when people remind, and he said it in such a way that it's genuine. You know what I mean? You're not doubting that at all. Like, he's like, I had some blank got to deal with, you know, when this stuff happens. And it makes you like DeAndre Ayton when you hear him talk. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that he says that makes me not like him and not root for him.
Correct.
And I think that's why players, his former teammates, say what they say, because they believed him. Like, when Devin Booker goes like, yeah, man, I love seeing him do that. I hope he does it every night. He's saying that because he cares and he thinks that this guy has got that potential, because guys don't say that about people they don't. They dismissed already. You know what I mean? They're just like, right. Yeah, whatever. So, it makes me – I believe it's true. I believe you need to settle in. I also believe that if they don't run through the offense through you and you're 7 feet tall and your best thing is mid-range jumpers and pick and rolls and alley-oops, you're not going to get 30. You know, you can't. You're not a guard. You can't go get it. You know, they got to give it to you. So this is just showing that if they run it through him, he can deliver.
Yeah, the money thing is always fascinating because there's only so much money can do for you before it becomes completely excessive and has no real bearing on your happiness. I think if you just look around the world of, you know, people right now, and all these people have all this money, are just, some of them are miserable because, like, I have a car. It's a nice car. Now, I don't have a $200,000 car, but if I did have a $200,000 car, that'd be kind of fun when I drove it. But like anything else, eventually I'd get bored with a $200,000 car, and it's not going to solve any of my problems that I have. It's just a nice car. I live in a very nice house. I can't complain. Now, I could have a 10,000 square foot home. It'd be better. I might have a pool in it. I might have a bigger screen TV. But I still, at the end of the day, at night when I eat dinner at dining room table, and then I'm going to sit on the couch and watch TV, none of the excess is going to help whatever personal issues I have going on. So sometimes the money can be extremely overrated. Plus, we all know a lot of times pro athletes and entertainers blow their money anyway on nonsense chasing happiness. But anyway, that's another topic for another day. Let's get to this next question.
That's a Dr. Fentress podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That one's Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Did you see Adrian Peterson's broke? $100 million? He's broke now? Like, how
not
is that
a shocker
possible?
On, $100 not a million. Shocker on Adrian Peterson.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, so DA talked a little bit more too about being embraced by PDX and how much that's meant to him and how he's had to make all these adjustments. And then I threw in adjusting to ice. And then that started a conversation about the whole ice situation. And it was very conversational, right? Just because I said to him, I go, that the day it happened, I wanted to talk to you more about it, but he kind of shut it down a little bit. And my whole thing was like, this is a kid from Bahamas who grew up in Arizona. Like, my impression of him was walking outside and going, nope. But anyway, he talked about it. It's pretty humorous. We went back and forth, but take a listen.
do have to take into place where you have to adjust to certain cities and you know, teammates and things like that, you know?
And ice.
And literally.
So now you're talking about it. You didn't want to talk to that much. But just let me ask you this question. You grew up in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah.
Spent your whole life in Arizona, pretty much.
Facts.
When you walked outside and you saw that shit, what were you thinking, dude?
Yeah, I went back in.
See, that's
like, honestly, I just went back in. And, you know, me testing it out, I actually, like, people think it's snow. It wasn't no snow. It's really ice. Like, I've seen, like, literally thick inches of ice where I'm trying to dug out my Ferrari, you know, trying to, like, at least get it to the garage, you know, things like that. And you know, I've seen some crazy incidents where people damn near lose their life, you know, trying to drive on this ice. And, you know, it is a dangerous thing. That was a dangerous moment. You know, I'm really glad my team.
I totally defend you that night, man.
No,
some people were tripping. I was like, nah, man, they ain't need to stay
home. I think people forget. I live up on hills, man.
Right.
It takes hills to get to me. So me trying to go up there, like, and you see all the other cars that's parked up on the side, and ain't no walking. You walk. Where you gonna walk?
I just pictured you going. Nope.
No, literally. My car went from I crashed two cars. No more. I ain't never said it. Went up and it just started sliding back down. So when the team came in with their guys and the chain and stuff, so what they start doing? They start sliding. So we just say, you know what, we just all gonna keep this to ourselves.
we just gonna make it.
It's called
nothing we didn't know about the detail shit. Like,
for one, it was a mess. Three cars stacked up on each other. Yeah. And on top of that, there's a train coming in 15 minutes. Wait 15 minutes. 15 minutes. So we out there for 30, damn near an hour, and we see this trail. I was like, hold on now. Y'all not gonna have me keep pushing to this railing, because ain't no little railing to stop me from going. No, man, it ain't no bell or nothing. If that train see you, bum, bum, and that's it. Bum, bum, you should be gone by then. By the second horn, you all ass gone. But that's it.
Okay.
That's really it.
So he's talking about obviously living on a hill, trying to move his cars, can't move them. Blazers come to try and help him. They're sliding in the ice. And there's a train where he makes it like, if you slide out of control, you could end up on the train tracks. And there's trains coming every 15 minutes or so. So clearly, smart move to miss was it the Nets? Was it the big game against the Nets or something like that?
To me, that whole thing was ridiculous, because everyone who actually has a regular job during that ice storm, if they went in, there was an employee or two who couldn't make it because of their unique situation of where they lived. You know what I mean? And for people to act like they didn't try or that there was no system in place,
right?
It made no sense to me. And it was just a ridiculous thing, why would he not want to make it? You know, and he's 7 feet tall. Like, he falls. That's fall. He's already got bum, knees that got issues. Like, it was just like, obviously they tried. And, you know, when he explains it to you, I lived, when I first moved to Portland, I lived up off of Southwest Vista. You know, big hill on Burnside, big hill up to Vista. My car, I parked on the street. I don't have a garage. I don't have a garage. I live in an apartment. They came during the big snowstorm. I think it was 2008, and they plowed. And my car was not. I couldn't get it out. Like, it was baked in and frozen. And then I tried to get it out. Then they had to come get me. My station had to come get me with a four. I got someone who had four wheel drive, and it was hard to get up that hill. And I didn't live in a special mansion, you know what I mean? Like, and other people couldn't make it to work. So I thought it was ridiculous. I think it's funny to hear him describe it. And if you ask most Blazer fans, do you want your 7 foot, $30 million center spending an hour trying to get himself down off the ice, like with risking falling, risking taking his car off the rail, risking getting hit by a train? If they say yes, they're not good fans. Like he came, like, ridiculous to get so mad about that. Wasn't a playoff game. Like, I mean, I was reading things like they could have gotten him with a snowmobile. I'm like, what? Like,
a
where?
Snowmobile.
Where
those
is this?
Those people weren't serious, were they?
And I did, like, snowmobile. I wouldn't say this, imagine? But some people were talking about, like, helicopter. I'm like, a helicopter in bad weather, like, that's a great idea, right?
Send a helicopter to get your center for the big game against the Nets with two sub-500 teams. And was it December? Was that January?
I'm glad he can, he can tell these stories with you with a sense of humor. And, one day I hope he's holding up a championship trophy and he goes, "They said I didn't care because I didn't come in the ice."
It was January 17th. January 17th against the Nets. Right. And I love the contingency plans to try and figure out how to get your players out of snow and ice.
Let's build a tunnel. We need a tunnel. A tunnel slide. He can slide down and we'll pick him up at the bottom.
Oh, okay. That's funny stuff. All right. We talked a lot about DeAndre. We're happy with his progress and what he's showing.
That's the fun part.
Let's see if he can keep it rolling until they shut him down, right? So at some point they're going to be like, "Okay, that's enough, DA. We're good. Let's go with Reef the rest of the season." Okay. Scoot Anderson started last night because Simons was out.
Because no one else was available. Brogdon was out. Graham was out. Simons was out.
He'd been on a minutes restriction. It got lifted off, and then it came back. 12 points.
It wasn't good. The numbers were good. 12 rebounds, 7 and 6.
Didn't shoot well. 4 of 13, 1 of 4 on threes. The previous game, 0 of 4 on threes. 1 of 8 from the field during the win against Atlanta. Only 17 minutes. Really struggled in that game.
One good.
Foul trouble. 5. Prior to that, 5 of 12, shot decently, but 1 of 5 on 3s, 13 and 8 and 6, not too bad. And then 13 and 5 with one rebound on 5 of 12 again, 1 of 4 on 3. So, again, he's showing some things here and there, with the assists, which I like. His athleticism, his strength, it's still obviously impressive. Yeah. But the shot, again, he's got to shoot better. 3 of 17 from 3 of the last 4 games since he came back. So, yeah, not playing very well. Billups has even commented like he just hasn't really been completely himself. He said after the game, we talked to him and, he's just trying to, get himself back in the rhythm, and he has been on a minutes restriction, but he feels good. And ultimately just, his goals is just trying and end strong. Like, he just wants to end the season on a high note, and I'm sure he's going to get his opportunities because, I both believe they're going to start shutting guys down here soon, and he won't be one of them.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when you look at his Justice Ross stat, like what you typically go to first in a box score, which is, points, rebounds, and assists. He's got games where he goes 15, 7, and 6 or 13, 7, and 6. And the 15, 7, and 6 is a worse game than the 13, 7, and 6 if you actually watch the game. Right. Because some of these numbers just don't matter. Here's what I've come to with him. You know why he's picked third overall, because sometimes he'll go coast to coast, or he can get to the rim with athleticism and speed, which is so impressive. He can cross over people and make them look silly, which is so impressive. And every once in a while, he does a step back, not the three, but the step back, 18 footer. And it's like, it's delicious. You're like, whoa,
it's delicious.
Okay. But the problem in this league is if he can't shoot, you're not going to elevate to all-star level. That the NBA doesn't allow for that anymore especially at the guard position. It almost doesn't allow for it at any position, but certainly there. So to me, it's as simple as if the guy can learn to shoot and he's 19, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, there's all-star potential. If he continues to shoot the way he has, which, why would he not get better at 19? He's not going to be great. I mean, the other stuff's there. Look, he can't guard. He makes silly fouls. He terrible turnovers at times. But that's 19. That you can live with, right? Because that comes with time. Learning to shoot differently, that's not just time. That's a change in body mechanics. That's one where you can't figure out. Like, that doesn't always happen, right? I mean, that's what, that's why you got guys that are Jamal Murray's and then Cameron Payne's.
Or Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn's a great example.
Right.
defensive minding athletic guard everyone was high on, never got his shot. Can't shoot.
But like Payne's really good. He's good. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's just not great. Why is he not great? Because we've all seen him shoot. You're like, ooh, that's funky. You know, and it goes in sometimes because it got better, but it's funky, and that's not the mechanics of a great shooter.
Now, Lonzo Ball completely reinvented his shot and became a legit three-point threat. So maybe, you know, and
there's chance.
Shot looks fine. I mean, you're not criticizing the way it looks, are you?
You know, it doesn't look fine to me because it's not in – his threes are not – it's not perfect. It's a little low. It's a little mechanical. When he shoots it, I'm not like, oh, that's going in. You know what I mean? Like, and there's – when Simon shoots, you're like, oh, that's going in. Now he's not shooting great this year. But the way it looks, it's going in. With him, when it goes in, you're like, okay. I mean and he doesn't jump much on the three. So – that's why the it's just different. Like his step back at the 18, you know, 15 to, you know, 18, that looks good. Looks completely different to me than the three coming off a pick. But it's not disgusting. You know, it's not awful. Like it's not far. So I think there's still potential, but that's – I think that's where we're at though. Like because you know how when he gets to the rim, I still am surprised when he doesn't try to dunk sometimes and he gets his shot blocked. I'm like, why? I just saw you get a rebound on the other end. Your head was over the rim. You know, when he gets rebounds sometimes, you're like, on the defensive end, that's where you could see a guy really jump straight up. And you're like, wow, that guy can dunk everything. So will he get aggressive and dunk? And like with Simons, I'm over that. He's not going to do that. But he could get to the rim and make layups, right? But he's not going to use he doesn't often dunk on people as opposed to even – Lillard will go for it. You know what I mean? Like, he'll go for it.
Right. And Shaden, obviously. Shaden, obviously, will dunk over anybody, right?
Even if he can't, he's not trying to – he's going to the rim. He's got creative ways to finish. Some really special stuff with, you know, changing hands, using the rim for protection. But he hasn't shown a ton of go and dunk it. And that's what I'd like to see more. Get fouled. Miss the dunk. I don't care. I'd much rather you miss the dunk than get your shot blocked, you know, by guys that are not as athletic as you because you're trying to lay it up. But you know what? In the G League, they don't block those on him because he's got he spaced himself. They definitely didn't block those at AAU. So that I hope will come in time. And Billups has talked about it, telling him, like, go dunk it. Lamar Hurd on the I forget which game said, you know, he's going to look at that tape and he's going to say, oh, you should have dunked that. And so I hope that comes.
Right. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, for me, rookie year, feeling things out, 19, 20-year-old. You know, in 2 years, he's going to be a completely different player, whether it's going to be, you know, what they want him to be. We don't know yet, but he's definitely going to continue to get better. I believe. Like, I don't think that's even a question. But still, obviously, the jury's out on whether or not he's going to be the star they want and need him to be. All right. Anything else?
No, we were just joking, Aaron and I, before. Like, we talked last podcast. Like, are they tanking yet? And I was like, well, Simons didn't. He played 40 minutes and then he didn't play. Grant's got a hamstring. I think they're tank adjacent right now. They're tank adjacent. They're not quite there. But when you're not, when you're saying, like, you know, Fedor's like, oh, the, you know, Simons' knee was legit. He played 40 minutes. I'm like, yeah, but they won. Well, and, you know, like, Chauncey played him 40 minutes.
Chauncey wanted to give him that. It'd been bothering him a little bit. He went 43 minutes hard. To me, if you're tanking, you don't go 43 minutes hard. You keep
him. Well, that's
him
what I'm saying. Like, it's
tanking
adjacent because no one else is coming back.
But you play Delano and Ashton at point guard for longer minutes to assure the loss, and then you preserve. Yes. Look, that's when you were tanking. The fact that they played him 43 minutes, they let him and Aiden crush it, which they did.
And win.
And then you win, and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to give my dude a night off on a back-to-back, which is something almost everyone in the league does nowadays.
But they usually got they don't have, I mean, Grant's out, Simon's out, Brock is out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, somebody's okay. I just think somebody's okay. All right.
I'm not officially ready to declare that they're completely tanking yet.
It's I'm coming. With you. I'm saying it's tank adjacent. Like, they're coming. Real close. They're real close.
The key right now really is Aiden, right? Isn't that, I mean, that's when they're full on, right. when all of a sudden Aiden's got something and it's six games. And then it's the rest of the season, right? That's he's the watch right now.
The good, the one thing about this team is even full strength. Well, they're never going to get full strength, but they're not getting themselves to. They're not getting too many wins against decent teams, so they don't have to stress that hard about the we got to try real hard to tank. They put themselves in excellent position.
Okay, but if everyone were playing, they'd have a couple more wins right now.
I don't want to get into that. They're not
in the last 10 games. They would have some more wins. There's no doubt about that in mind. But let's,
of course.
They have 3 wins
in 2 months.
Okay, so that's where you can argue that there's some strategy. This is supporting you. I'm saying that's where you can argue there's some strategy to keeping guys out. But let's take a look at this though. So the Charlotte Hornets are 17-49. They have a 2-game lead, depends on which way you want to go, right? The Blazers have a 2-game lead over Charlotte for 5th. Worst record. Charlotte's got the 4th. So they could pass the Hornets, unless the Hornets do a better job of tanking. Memphis is 4 games ahead of them, and they're free falling as well.
You're not catching Memphis. You are not catching Memphis. They are tanking like nobody's business.
No, I know, but if Memphis doesn't win another game and you win 3 or 4, boom, you catch Memphis. And that's where it becomes strategic and dicey, where you look at the schedule and go, okay, yeah. But like this, like upcoming, they got the Pelicans and the Bulls. I'm gonna say Bears, the Bulls, and then they come home for Clippers, Denver. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm just saying they played themselves into a good spot and it's not like last year's draft so far that we've heard if you get one or two, it's not the draft of necessarily like last year where like you really wanted to be 1, 2, or 3. You know what I mean? Like that there was 3 players that standing out beyond everything else. But I don't know. We're not doing wins and losses. My thing is, what are we going to talk about when they sit 8 and down? I'm rooting for Scoot. Go Scoot.
The Scoot show, man. Scoot needs to take over. But then he's going to be like, well, wait a minute. I got no veterans to play off of now. Oh, well, it is what it is. All right, we're good?
Yep.
You forgive me for calling Ayton Ewing?
You know, you did what you did. Yeah, you wanted me to hate on Ayton. I wasn't going to take the bait.
No, I didn't want that. I just wanted to see your face. All right, thanks for listening to the DeAndre Ayton edition of the Blazer Focus podcast. He is killing it. We hope you liked the audio from him, and we'll be back soon to discuss tank or no tank here on the Blazer Focus podcast.